It's ignorance. You know, they're not paying attention to the bigger picture. We have rules stipulated, mandated by our government, and nobody's listening to them. You know, and this is the outcome, which is very tragic.
Well, it is incredibly tragic. That is some comments that we've picked up about this dog attack that happened at Waterfront Playground in Toronto. Now, the child that was attacked is left with, they're quoting it on CTV as life-altering injuries over the course of the weekend. It was Little Norway Park and Saturday morning. So the way that I understand this story is that a man and his kid go out, they're playing, they walk into this park, and then there's a dog there that's off leash. Dog goes, runs to the man and the kid, which, let's be honest, is a pee your pants moment if you've ever had one. And then proceeds to attack. And then it took the man and the owner to get the child free as well. Now, I think that everybody that goes into this conversation knows that the good boys are the good boys, right? Like the good boy dogs are the good dogs, and we all love the good dogs. But at the same time, we would like to believe that our dog will never do something like that. My dog would never do something like that. Let's not lose sight of the fact that there is a child here that, regardless of the forever altered, as quoted by the article, is going to have a life of dealing with the trauma of what just happened. Being in a park, pets, dogs running at them, that kind of dog. And you can hear it, right? You can hear it in your mind right now. Oh, I bet it was a blank breed. So we can get into that conversation. I invite you to text in and share your thoughts. 71010 is the text. 416-872-1010 for local calls. And we want to talk about the legalities of all of this too. I have some questions. And this is where we're going to hopefully get some of the answers of the way that this plays out as well. I'm Shane Hewitt, guest host here on The Rush. And our guest right now is going to help us hopefully understand this just a little bit. And joining us here is Nainish Kotak. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on.
Now, the legalities of all this and the ethics around it are very, very different. I suppose because of the fact that you're a founder at Kotak Law, like, you have to, we have to start this conversation with saying, we know that this is not good. There are laws, which I call agreements. We have all agreed to behave this way and protect our dogs this way. And this is where the conversation truly needs to start. Yeah.
Oh, I 100% agree. You know, unfortunately, these type of incidents have been increasing. It's hard to say why. It may well be during the pandemic, there were a number of new dog owners and the dogs were not being socialized. But the reality is, as you say, there are legal consequences here. This individual who was harboring this dog is charged under the criminal code because the injuries are so severe. They're charged with criminal negligence causing bodily harm. But there also is civil responsibility as well. In the province, we have what's called the Dog Owners Liability Act that essentially provides for strict liability on the owner of a dog. Now, the owner is defined quite loosely, actually. It could be a dog walker, somebody who harbors that dog. So if your dog bites somebody or another domestic animal, you are responsible. And you better hope you have some insurance behind you on that because the damages could be significant. So from there, we certainly have statutes in place in the province as well as in the city of Toronto to protect those who have been bitten by dogs and to provide guidelines and rules for which dog owners need to follow when it comes to dangerous dog designations and when it comes to being off leash, etc.
Now, you said insurance. Actually, that piqued my interest. What kind of insurance even covers this? I had no idea. The only insurance I'm aware of is, of course, veterinary and health insurance.
Right. So, look, you know, as a homeowner, if you have a dog, you ought to be covered under your home insurance. But it is incumbent on the dog owner to let the insurer know that, look, you have a dog. So there's no issue after the fact that, well, your premium would have been higher if you told us you had a dog. I recommend to all dog owners, let them know let your home insurance know that you have a dog so that you would be covered in the event your dog injures someone. You'd be covered under your home insurance to pay your legal bills and any damages that may be awarded as a result of the bite. So that's what I mean by insurance. It gets a little tricky. For example, if the person who owned the dog or had control over the dog was renting, and they may not have their own home insurance. So I always recommend, you know, get tenant's insurance. It's very cheap for your contents and also for third-party liability, which would protect you in case your dog bites someone. So, you know, insurance would be through that, either renter's insurance or home insurance.
Now, that's quite remarkable to think about that. I mean, and there's a lot of people, I don't know, maybe this is flippant, but there's a lot of people who pay a lot of money for their dogs. And if you did have a fire, whether you're a tenant or a homeowner, I mean, some people would want to claim that, wouldn't they? I mean, there's all kinds of agreements that we have around all of this, generally speaking. So in this particular case, you would want this as well. Now, what kind of punishment is this? Is this one of these things that takes forever to do? Is this a civil thing where they just sue and ask for money? Does the person go to jail? How does this look?
Well, this is, you know, with such a serious case where the young person suffered life-altering injuries, which could very well be a permanent disfigurement, and certainly there's psychological injuries that are going to be lifelong. So under the criminal code, it's an indictable offense, meaning that, the Crown doesn't have the authority to go by summary conviction, which is lesser than maximum penalties, 10 years in jail. So there could really be jail time. You know, in this case, from what I'm reading here, from Bill Me as well, is that this dog already might have had a dangerous dog designation. That's sort of what I could be corrected there, but that's what I'm reading and sort of in the media now, which, you know, is that in and of itself under the animal bylaw requires muzzling, requires leasing, requires signs and warnings that the dog owner needs to do. And that probably wasn't done in this case, given that this dog wasn't muzzled and that the dog was sort of off leash. So this is a very aggravating factor. You know, if you have a dangerous dog designation and you take your dog out and goes and bites someone so severely, this is an aggravating factor that very well could result in jail time for the owner. Now there are lesser cases where there are bites where the injuries are not so significant, but there still is penalties. For example, the Dog Owners Liability Act carries penalties under the Provincial Offences Act. So there could be fines that could occur, and dangerous dog designations. But what we have seen in this case is one of the most extreme events. But unfortunately, this, you know, every year, and it's increasing more and more, we're seeing more young people injured from the very same thing. Dogs off leash in school grounds or in public parks, and going on to get, and for whatever reasons, to bite young people. It's a trend that's a rather unfortunate trend. You know, the reality is, look, dogs are companions. They're part of our families. They're part of our society. They really, truly are a person's best friend. But then you have the other extreme, as you sort of mentioned at the beginning, where it's not a privilege. There's a responsibility.
Yeah. And they're protectors.
Owning dogs. Yes.
Right. They're naturally protectors, generally speaking. Okay, quickly, I only have 30 seconds here, Nanish, but as if you're hired as the lawyer, metaphorically hired as the lawyer in this particular case, and you're going to have to represent a person like this, do you slow it down to make sure that you wait and see what the long-term impacts of this are?
Right, a couple of things here. So with a minor, a young person, a judge will have to approve any settlement and the lawyer's fees. So that in and of itself slows things down. You would likely sue the owner of a dog or whoever harbored that dog. You'd proceed through the litigation process. Yes, of course, you won't settle the case without knowing the full extent of the injuries in terms of potential income loss, the disfigurement, psychological injuries, and that takes some time to be able to quantify damages.
Nanish Kotak is the founder of Kotak Law. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Dog owners know. I mean, my dog would never do that. I don't trust my dog. I don't. I never trust my dog. I have a Great Dane. And if you're a giant breed owner, you know real quick that that's one of the first things that you're taught. In fact, you can always tell a new giant breed owner because they don't deal with their dog the same way. A couple of texts that come in, horrible thing that happened. Blame is on the dog walker, but I even feel bad for her. That's for sure. So much more. This is what happens when people do not follow the rules. It's tragic. It is tragic. It doesn't need to happen. It's absolutely heartbroken. You can get more from CTV, of course. I'm Shane Hewitt. This is The Rush, as I am filling in.